Welcome to the Mary Velloni Show. I'm your host, Mary Velloni, and we are in episode 15. And today's episode is called Why People Will Give to Your Cause and Not to Others. So before we get started in today's content, just want to give a huge shout out to my Facebook friends. Last week, I posted on Facebook about the podcast and just got such great responses and just appreciate the support and people who are tuning in and listening because obviously this is my passion and I love sharing this message. So thank you guys for sharing the message on through social media and just getting the word out about the podcast because I mean, we just want to have more people listening in and doing good work and not feeling like they're alone in the world as they're raising funds. So if that's you today and you're feeling a little bit alone, well, welcome. And I hope that after our time together, you feel like you're a part of the Fundraising Freedom family and obviously the Mary Velloni Show family as well. So let's jump in. I'm going to talk today about why people will give to your cause and not to others. And there's really three reasons why, and it's because they know, like, and trust you. So it's really not super complicated in the fact of that we do business, we communicate and we hang out with people that we like. Well, first of all, we have to know them, then we like them, and then we trust them, and then we buy from them. We give to their causes. We're a part of what it is that they're doing because we like them. So I'm going to hit on these things on today's podcast: know, like, and trust. And out of all of these, you can't ever get someone to give to your cause if they don't even know you in the first place. So this is where we start, is knowing people, getting our word out there, getting people to just know that you even exist, that your cause is out there, that you're the person who's a part of it, and that there's a connection there. So this is, a lot of people struggle with trying to find new contacts and new connections. And that's because they've probably exhausted everybody that they know in their inner circle. And so now it's time to start branching out beyond. So first of all, let's address, what does it mean to know someone? Like, not know of them. Sometimes people say, oh, do you know so-and-so? And I'd be like, well, I know of them, but I don't know them. And there's a very big difference there. I mean, knowing of someone is really no different than you turning on the television and saying that you know of any one of the celebrities that's on your television or a musician or anybody like that. But to know someone is that you actually shared some sort of intimate conversation with them, that they were willing to open up and you got a chance to connect with them in a way where they know a little bit about you and you know something about them. So let's just right there start with knowing somebody and knowing of somebody, very different. So you might have a prospect list of a lot of donors, a lot of people who you know of that you're wanting to get to know. So this is the intent, is that we want to try and get to know as many people as possible in a more close, you know, level. This means that they start sharing information about their family, their kids, their job, you know, are they going on vacation, traveling somewhere? They have a certain hobby that you guys can connect on. So that's all a part of the process. And then when you get into the like process, when somebody actually likes you, you know, this kind of goes into, you know, relationships in general and when people are dating or whatever, you kind of are picking up on the cues. Do they laugh when you talk to them? Do they smile a lot? When you call, they actually pick up the phone. All those sorts of things give you the impression that somebody does like you. Now, I'll admit I'm a self-proclaimed people pleaser, and I'm totally working on this. But if you're a people pleaser, you want everyone to like you. And I'm so sorry to share with you, but not everybody's going to like you. And this is why your team is so important. It's because you need a lot of people on your team so that you can connect with a lot of different people. So if they only like you, if you're getting a lot of people who like you, well, you're probably only getting a certain percentage of the population because not everybody's going to connect with you. So when you build out your team, now all of a sudden you open up the doors to a whole heck of a lot more people who are going to like you because they like other people on your team. And when volunteers are asked, when they've been surveyed in the past, And they're asked, why do they volunteer with a particular organization? The number one reason is because they like them. And so that is so critical. Nobody's going to ever give to an organization or a cause or an individual for that matter if they don't like them. I mean, when have you ever done anything, bought a product or been a part of something, given your time or your energy to something that you just do not like? I mean, you might do it as a favor to someone, but for the most part, you're probably just not going to do it at all. So getting someone to like you is really important, and in order for somebody to like you, they have to actually know you. So that's why knowing somebody is the first part of it. Liking you and your organization and what you stand for is the second. And then the third part is that they trust you. And this is actually the most critical, because somebody can know you, like you, but they don't trust you. And sometimes this is hard, especially in the fundraising side of things. And as you're, encouraging people to be a part of your cause, is that they could really know and like you, but they don't trust that you're either going to do what you say or that your organization is actually doing what they say. So it might not even be you personally. It might be the cause in general that they just don't trust what the organization stands for. So sometimes we get our feelings hurt because we think that somebody doesn't like us, or that they, there's something wrong because they didn't give to our cause. And it all comes basically down to the trust factor. Think about anything, any company or organization that you've been a part of where you really do, I mean, you obviously know them, you work for them, you like the organization, you like the people that you work with, but you've just seen so many things happen over and over again that you start to have a lack of trust. And when people are asked whether or not what does it mean to trust somebody or to trust an organization, I mean, they come up with hundreds of different responses. I mean, nobody has a perfect cookie cutter, oh, I trust them because. And most of the time, it's not really anything that you've ever said. It's all about your actions. And when they ask the tough questions, and when things come up, and just life happens, how do you react? And you can lose trust in an instant. It could be one simple little thing that was said or done, and all of a sudden the trust is broken, and now that person is no longer interested in being a part of your cause any longer. And so you have to pay attention to every single detail when you're working with your organization, because you never know what's going to rub somebody the wrong way. And when trust is broken and you don't address it right away, it's really, really easy for you to lose touch and never to be able to communicate again and figure out what actually happened. And sometimes it's just miscommunication, that somebody thought something because they watched it, they observed it and thought, oh, well, this is how you responded, and they didn't agree with it. And so in order for you to really remain a trusted source, or, if you are the organization focused on a particular, demographic in your community, if the people who support or, care about the cause don't trust you, they just will never give to you again, or never give to you in the first place for that matter. So the whole process of the know, like, and trust, this is really such a technique that's used in the sales and marketing force, and to anybody who's trying to sell a product or a service. And so this is really no different on the giving end. When people, give donations to a cause, they want to know, like, and trust you. And then after all that is said and done, now they'll give a contribution. And so, just thinking through the no process of getting in front of as many people as possible, getting your message out there in a way where people really feel like they know you. Not that they've heard of you. Same thing. They may have heard of you, which is great. That's great because you might have been in the media, or people have been talking about your organization or you, and so there's a lot of buzz around it. But once they know you, then they can start to create a decision as to whether or not they want to get to know you more, which means that they start to like what you're doing. And usually that's how the process continues on, is that somebody introduces them to you or you knew them personally, and all of a sudden they're like, wow, what is it that you guys are doing? And you're able to tell that story so well that they start to say, wow, you're really unique. There's something really special about you. You know, earlier this week, I posted in our Fundraising Freedom Tribe on Facebook about just a shout out to Tim Needham, who works with Restoration House in St. Louis here. And shout out to you, Tim. But he did a media interview, and I could tell immediately that the radio, you know, DJs, they really liked him. I mean, prior to this, they didn't know each other. They had never even met. So here was this opportunity for him to come in, talk about his cause in a very short amount of time. You could tell over this 20-minute conversation, this know, like, and trust was happening right before my eyes, you know? So it was, it was radio, but it was really cool because I was like, okay, here's an introduction to a new person. It doesn't take long before somebody starts to say, wow, we really align, like we believe in the same thing. We're really targeting the same demographic and the same audience. And then all of a sudden, they start to trust that you're like, wow, you're actually doing what you say you're going to do. That is amazing. And you're partnering with the same organizations we are. And now we can start to talk about giving. And this is where I had encouraged him to, you know, discuss the opportunity of being a long-term partner, because it's like you obviously align in a way where they care about what you're doing and you care about what they're doing. So it's a perfect partnership. And sometimes you get in a room with somebody and they start talking about the thing that they're passionate about, and you realize very quickly that you guys just don't align. And that I can't tell you how many times that's happened to me. It's rare, because I usually don't get to the place where I'm actually meeting with somebody before I figure out, oh gosh, they don't have any interest in the work that we're doing. But sometimes people get confused because they think you do a certain thing, and then they come to find out, oh, that's not you. That's not what your cause is about. So you have to kind of, you know, once you get into those circumstances, you just learn very quickly how you know, if you can even get to the place where somebody would be willing to give to your cause. But back to why people give to your cause and not to others is ultimately because you align. You know, you're not going to be a perfect fit for every single person you come in contact with, and that's okay. I think that that's where the big, you know, thing about any successful business person or any successful nonprofit leader is that they really identify and hone in on the fact that I've got to go find my people. You know, let's go find the people that care about the work that we do, and find people that could potentially care about the things that we care about. I always say, you know, like it's, you don't obviously when you first meet somebody, you don't already know necessarily if they're going to be a good fit. So you have to go knock on as many doors as possible just to get your message out there to see if there's an opportunity for that relationship to move forward. But this is also goes back to why I always talk about, you know, the fact that you can't just go in for a donation immediately. I mean, sometimes, like I said, if you're doing like a car wash or a bake sale or something like that, but if you're doing something that's like where you're looking for long-term sustainability, you're looking for donors who can be a part of your cause for a long time and that they give larger gifts. If they're only giving, you know, $50 a year, that's one thing. But somebody who starts giving $50 a month or $100 a month or thousands of dollars a year, you need to build out that relationship so that they do continue to trust the work that you're doing, so that they don't stop giving. And I think that I've seen it happen over and over again, where somebody gives to the cause, they know, like, and trust you, and then all of a sudden the trust is broken and the donation walks out the door. And sometimes, like I mentioned before, is that you don't even know what happened. You don't even know why they stopped giving. But if you don't ever go pursue, you never go reach out to them and say what happened, or you don't even see that their donation ever even, you know, stopped coming in because you just have everything on autopilot and you're not paying attention to your donations. So easily, a relationship could could disappear just because of a miscommunication somewhere along the line. So that's where I want to make sure that when you're out there talking to people and you're getting new people on board, that you see the process of how to get them, you know, engaged in a part of your cause, but for long term. And the ones who do it the best, I mean, the ones who raise money and raise it for the long term are really the people who ultimately care about their donors. And so when you, back to thanking your donors and showing appreciation, is that when you show appreciation and you tell them that you care about them, you are thanking them for their contribution, and you don't just do it generically like, oh, I'm supposed to thank people, so I just do it. That's not that's not what any donor wants. They want to be a part of something with you. And so when you thank them, you are genuinely saying, thank you for X, because without you doing this, this wouldn't have happened. And starting to really identify, you know, back to doing life with your donors, is that you couldn't do the things that you're doing without them. And they appreciate that. So this, that likability continues to stay there because you care about them, they care about you, and it's just such a mutual win-win relationship with each other. So I've been, you know, I listen to a lot of content, and just I really enjoy listening to podcasts and other business leaders and what they're doing. And this know, like, and trust is just this repetitive thing that I hear over and over again. And so I wanted to be sure that you as a nonprofit leader really understood this process, because it's so easy to think that you just got to get out there and just go knock on as many doors. And it's like, well, it's only one part of the process to tell somebody about what you do. And that's just the knowing of each other. And that's just the very bare basics of how you welcome people into your team. So if you are struggling right now with trying to find new people to talk to, this is where you, when people know, like, and trust you, what happens is once they trust you and once they've given to your cause, they turn into the person who can open up doors for new people to know, like, and trust you. So this goes back to that team. If you have a great team, you always have a flood of new contacts coming in. You always are being introduced to new people because people want you to know, like, they want their friends to know you. So when I see people kind of guarding their contact list and they're not willing to share, you know, just as far as they're not willing to introduce you to people, sometimes it really just takes you going out of your way to say, hey, Joe, would you mind, you know, introducing me to John? I know you guys are really great friends. I'd love to meet him. You know, and so that's all it is. And Joe trusts that you're not going to go talk to John about giving on your very first interaction because you don't even know John, right? Right? So you're not going to go ruin the relationship between Joe and John because it's an embarrassment that you went 10 steps or, well, 3 steps ahead of the game and immediately started asking for money in your first interaction. So does that all make sense? I hope that you can understand that it's like we can't ruin our relationships with people because we are desperate for donations to come into our cause. Of course, in that first interaction, because they know that Joe's already giving to your cause, it can expedite the conversation in a much quicker fashion because, hey, I already know Joe gives to your cause, so if Joe likes you, I like you. And sometimes people do that. I mean, you know it. You do it all the time. When somebody introduces you to someone else and you're like, I love this person. I really like, you know, my friend. If they say you're a good person, clearly I'm going to jump from the, wanting to know you quicker, and I'm probably going to like you right away because of the relationship that you already have. And even that trust factor significantly skyrockets because if a friend likes you and a friend trusts you and a friend is buying from you or giving to your cause, then that means that I probably will too, just because I like them a lot. So you can see how quickly this can, you know, spiral. I mean, it can go just looking at a pyramid, you know, like how when a friend of a friend of a friend, like all of a sudden these people start introducing you to other people. And now you've got that momentum on your side that there's this buzz about what it is that you're doing and what you stand for. So, but today you have to start with one. And you've just got to get yourself in front of the right people. And sometimes the right people is just any people, you know, just get in front of as many people as possible and just start introducing yourself. This is the lots of handshaking, you know, get out there and just introduce yourself. And, you know, if that means inviting people over, you know, asking one friend to open up their home to another, it just starts to grow so quickly when people start to share the exciting things that are happening for you and your cause. So just don't get discouraged in this, because I think sometimes we get frustrated thinking that, oh my gosh, I've exhausted all of my contacts. But have you once thought just to take a step back and realize that, you know what, if I just met as many people as possible and I shared the great things that we're doing with our organization, imagine what people would want to do. You know, imagine the people who would respond to that. I mean, I was reading this recently where, you know, somebody had written that, you know, we like to buy, but we don't want to be sold to. And isn't that the truth? Like, we like buying stuff. I mean, we're, you know, especially us Americans, you know, like we like to buy stuff. Stuff is our friend. But that's the thing. As soon as we feel like somebody's trying to sell us on something, it just makes us shut down. It's like, well, I'm not going to buy it because I feel like I'm getting, you know, like it's just scammy and salesy, and that's the last thing I want to feel is like, well, what's in it for you? Are you getting something out of this deal? Versus you have such a great product, you have such a great cause, you just can't help but share it with the world, and you want as many people as possible to hear about what it is that you're doing because you're changing lives. So I hope today that you really grasp this concept of why people will give to your cause and not to others, because you're willing to knock on as many doors and get to know people. You're likable. You're finding people to bring onto your team that other people are attracted to, so that they like your team as well, and that they trust you, that you're what you do and what you stand for, you have integrity, all those things that make up why people trust an organization. You're reliable. You just stand for a certainty that when you say you're going to do something, you're going to come through with it. So, and then ultimately they want to give, they want to buy what you're selling. They want to be a part of your incredible cause. So be sure to use these tips. And you know, I've been encouraging you guys to jump into that tribe, and I continue to do that. If you're listening for the first time and want to be a part of the conversation, we are on Facebook, Fundraising Freedom Tribe, and you can be a part of the conversation and feel free to reach out. I'd love to hear from you guys, and definitely share this podcast with a friend. If this resonates with you and you're like, wow, if we could just really get this to sink in, that, you know, to know, like, trust, and then ultimately your donors are going to want to give. So I hope you guys use these great tips today and go change the world one volunteer and $1 at a time. What could your favorite charity do if money were not an object? Most nonprofit leaders say they know what to do, they just don't know how to do it. What if you had a resource that showed you step by step how to raise the funds you need to fulfill your mission? Hi, I'm Mary Valone, author of Fundraising Freedom, and I've raised millions of dollars for charity, and I'd love to show you exactly how to do it and how to recruit the right team to back you. Fundraising Freedom, 7 Steps to Build and Sustain Your Next Campaign. Available now at maryvalone.com, amazon.com, and online at all major bookstores. Get your copy and give the gift of Fundraising Freedom to your favorite charity today.